All right, tonight, go ahead and open to Isaiah 45, also 2 Samuel 22. And then, if we still haven't seen him face to face, we'll end it up in Revelation, and we'll get there when we get there. But as you begin to turn, there's so much in these texts that we'll just touch on a little bit tonight, that we could spend in eternity just glorying in his greatness. And we will, but just in the portion of things that we'll speak of tonight, it's just so amazing. And what I mean by that is tonight, God willing, we're going to focus on how passionately, fiercely, even vehemently, our God fights for us. I mean, he fights for us. I mean, he is moved beyond any moving that we could even imagine in his care for us. And he defends us completely against our enemies. And before we even begin to read this, I'd like to just quote a verse to get this rejoicing going that we quote many times that shows us that he is so in control, and that's Proverbs 16:4. And in Proverbs 16:4, it says, "The Lord hath made all things." Listen to this. "The Lord hath made all things for himself." Amen. Remember, we're for the good pleasure of his will. We weren't made for us. We were made for him. We are vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace. Amen. So we thank God that he says, now listen here, "The Lord hath made all things for himself." And in case you don't understand what all things means, he adds this on, "Yea, even the wicked he made for himself for the day of evil." Now, for a lot of people, and I'm talking Christians, this is really hard for them because you're trying to get your mind around something. You can't get your mind around something. You just believe by faith. That's called the mind of Christ. And that doesn't just get around it. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And when we believe, it is. God said it, and it's so. Praise the Lord. His word is yea and amen. It's just what it is. And he said, "I have made all things for myself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil." And then as we go into our text tonight, he's even going to go on and he's going to get more specific, but yet he's even going to get more infinite in his omnipotence in this. So let's, again, Isaiah 45, and let's go ahead and read from verse 5. In Isaiah 45, and from verse 5, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This isn't something to get perplexed about. This is something to rejoice about. This is so wonderful that there isn't anything that is. There isn't anything that was ever made that wasn't by him. I mean, do you see that? Nothing surprises him. Nope. He gets it because he made it. And here, praise the Lord, he created evil. He tells us that. He knows everything. He made everything. And praise God, he made everything for his purpose for himself. And this is God, again, we're speaking of. This isn't somebody that made something that, oh my goodness, what have I made? This is perfect God. Okay? Again, just settling on down, settling on down. And he's preaching to me because I need to settle on down. How much more could he tell you? I mean, really, in a lot of ways. You know, but then he comes and you know how much he loves you. But here again, he's telling you who he is. You know, sometimes we can get so close to somebody, which is so beautiful, that you kind of forget really who they are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, there's people that know some famous athletes and, you know, famous business people and all this. And then you step back and say, wow, you know, that, naturally speaking, that guy's pretty powerful, you know. And that guy won a couple Super Bowls. That's pretty cool, you know, and or however it might be. You know what I'm saying? But that didn't even, it's not even in the same anything. It's not worthy to be even compared. This beautiful friend, this bridegroom, oh my goodness, you're God. I mean, it's just beyond, you know. And that's what's so wonderful about our glorious one. But in that purpose, he divinely appoints, think of this, he divinely appoints these evil ones. He creates their evil schedules for their exact evil appointments for our life, for his glory. Come on. Oh, praise the Lord. Does anything surprise God? No. And how much more for your life? Has he not seen it? Does he not know? Has he not even strewn out those beautiful, before ordained good works that we should walk therein? And we know that that walk, as we've heard for years and years in here, it is not a walk of a lotus land of ease. It's a walk, yea, through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a walk that it's impossible, but, you know, the goats have those hind feet. You see them up on, how in the world they get there? But he takes us there because he's already prepared the way. And by the grace of God, he's already prepared us. He's never taken us to a place that he hasn't already prepared. Just like he's preparing that mansion, amen? He'll never take us to a place that he hasn't already prepared. All right. Now, and yet all this is going on. And yet what he does is he waits. And he's waiting for one thing always. And that's for us to call out to him. To call out to him. He's prepared all this. He's led us. He brings us into this place of glory that we would have never had without him. And all he's waiting for is us to call out to him. For him to destroy for you the very thing which he made. I just love it. I mean, it's so intimate. It's so my life. It's so my now. And I'm just so thankful that this is us in Christ. Praise his name. So now let's go on over to read 2 Samuel 22. And here's what the Lord is talking about. And this is precious David. We'll just read some sections in here. Let's read 2 Samuel 22 from verse 4. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Now listen to that. David knew the Lord. But David was afraid. All right? I thank the Lord by his grace. I can testify as I testified today. He's brought me to a place I would have told him no. He didn't ask me. I'm glad he said yes. Know that. I thank the Lord that there's a sign in my office that says, yes, Lord, but I'm understanding too. I'm so thankful. He said yes. All right? The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple. And my cry did enter into his ears. Now get this. Then the earth shook and trembled, and foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. Oh, that was just for David. Oh, no. No. Mm-mm. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Have you seen it? I'm watching it now. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. And darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. Let me tell you something. He that touches you touches the apple of his eye. And that's just an expression and a truth. But get this of what's going on in heaven. Even though he divinely made the evil, made that evil one, made the evil appointment, appointed all of y'all to be there, he's still fired up because you cried. He just waited for you to cry. To say, Lord, help me. Help me. 14, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. See, he likes telling you these things. This is descriptive of his godly anger, his godly jealousy, and the godly love wherewith we are loved. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomforted them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of his breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. For they were too strong for me. Amen. Jump on over to 33. For God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. You better read about what David did to his enemies. I mean, we're talking some nasty stuff. Sawed them up. Cooked them. Oh, there's a lot of them ones. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. You better start agreeing. You better start agreeing. This is God. And I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. You ready to cry out? Come on now, really. This is exciting. This is your life. This is our reality. Are we really ready to cry out to God? Amen. Drawing nigh in full assurance of faith, believing. Amen. Lord, you said this. Praise be to God. And you have not changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And praise God, what a visual we have here, and even more, because it's a promise. And God help us that we really see this personally for our lives and personally right now for the trial that each one of us are in, or trials. That God, by your grace, may we get there. Hallelujah. Because this is you, Lord. This is you, Lord, right now for us. All right. Now, what this is encouraging us in, well, just one small part of it, is we need to know this and believe in our continuing more than a conqueror complete victory life. We need to believe in that life. That's the life of Christ in you. It continues as more than a conqueror, and it is always in complete victory. It's already been won. It's finished. Praise God. And by God's grace, we must believe this. We must believe by the grace of God that His enabling, by His grace, we are the full overcomers. And full overcoming truly means overflowing and constantly overcoming. Constantly. Because we battle always. We're in the good fight of faith always. It's not just when we think we got a battle, you got a battle. If you're running for His best, when you are running for Christ the bridegroom, your bridegroom, it's on always. It's on always. Praise be to God. And we must really ask ourselves, are we really going to be the ones ruling and reigning with Him? And I'm talking about, you ever read there in the tribulation? We're going to read there tonight. That doesn't just happen. That's going to be for the ones that are in the battle now. The ones that are ruling and reigning and overcoming now. How He fights our enemies. I'm so thankful, as David said here, He gives them to me. But first He scattered them. Then He discomforted them. Then He allowed me to pursue them. And then I destroy them. And then, not only did I destroy them, I took them again and I beat them as the dust of the earth. Well, that wasn't very nice. Look what He did. He beat them so much they did not get up. I always remember my father in Little League football. It's your opponent. It's your enemy. You never let down. Never. You're up, get up more. They're down, don't let them up. By the grace of God. Amen? All right, now. Now we're understanding here, brothers and sisters, this is spiritual warfare. This isn't going out and picking fights. You pray for them that despitefully use you. But let me tell you something. When God has called you to the battle and He's put you in that battle, you battle one way, and that's to win. Amen. You're not just out there to beat the air. You're not out there for a fair fight. You already know that the victory's been won. There's nothing fair about that. You're favored and highly favored. You just go win. Come on now. This is God for you. This is life. This isn't our political correctness. This isn't, well, you know, that's not really being a good sport. That has absolutely nothing to do. Your good, righteous thoughts are wickedness to God. Do you want to be a man after God's own heart? Or do you just want to be you? I'm sorry if that's the latter, because you missed His best. But he does this. And he's doing this right now. And we're in the battle now. And praise God, these battles that we're in right now are training us for what by grace will perform someday in us with him in glory. And I'm talking about ruling and reigning jointly together with him. That is being trained in us by faith right now. Oh, yes, it is. I'm learning that. I'm learning that that battling is being learned and understood. And praise God, he's teaching my hands to war now. Yes, he is. And especially as he tells us, for a battle called Armageddon. You don't believe me? Let's read Revelation. Here we go. 15. Revelation 15, 5 through 8. It says, "And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles." All of this is like him. All of this speaks of the readiness. All of this white linen, pure and white, this is all speaking of the bride here. But even if you will not take that and say, well, okay, he gives you verse 7. "And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into that temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." You see what these four beasts are doing? You see what the bridal saints do? They're pouring forth this wrath with him. This is this precious battle time. This is this warring. That I thank the Lord that he is again in the trials that we trust him with right now. He is building this faith, this most holy faith in us, that he's readying us, hallelujah, to be his wife and to be his readied wife. Go on over to Revelation 19. Gets even sweeter. In Revelation 19, let's begin first from 11, then we're going to go back, but we'll see this. "And I saw heaven open." Now, this is the wrap-up here of the tribulation. This is what we're talking about. This is when the Lord comes, and boy, he comes. And he's coming as God, and feet of brass, and he is just taken over. Hallelujah. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies," now get this, here we go, "which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." My goodness, they got white horses just like he does. "Clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Now we're going to talk about that fine linen, white and clean in just one second here. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now praise the Lord. This is so beautiful. And isn't that wonderful? See, we know at this time by the grace of God, that bridal company, my goodness, we've been with him a while now by his grace. And now we're coming back on the white steeds with him, like him. Amen. Why would we be on anything else? We're like him. Praise the Lord. This is ruling and reigning together with him. This is being jointly glorified together with him. Amen. This is with him stuff. But you notice in verse 14, these armies, this isn't just everybody here. No, no. They followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. There's something very descriptive about this fine linen, white and clean. And it's only used to describe one of the fine linen, white and clean. And matter of fact, she is defined in verse 7. So let's just go back to find out exactly who this company, who this army is that's joining him on a white horse with him in glory. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Remember how we were in Song of Solomon? Remember how we read about they had the wedding? What did they do for the honeymoon? Remember how it says she got up early and said, "Oh, honey, let's go. Our honeymoon is just broke. We got to go down and finish." See? Follows the same thing here. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Praise God. The I do's have already happened. We know that. But there is a marriage in heaven, and there is a feast. But praise be to God. And she's granted this wonderful gown, this arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the linen is the righteousness of saints. And there she is with him in glory, fighting this precious, wonderful battle with him. Now, this is so wonderfully beyond mighty. But I thank God that this is our reality more than anything that we could ever see here. Anything you see with your eyes, this is an absolute reality more than anything if we will just believe. And really, I am so thankful to ask this to us, brothers and sisters. Do we really see ourselves here? Amen? Really see ourselves here. Praise God. This good soldier. And yes, here in Revelation by his grace, but that will never transpire until we see ourselves, praise be to God, as this good soldier enduring hardness right now in 2 Samuel 22. Are we with him? Are we seeing him? Are we praising the destroyer that goes before us and gives the enemy into our hands? By the grace of God, I pray we do. And to close, I have a funny story for you, how the Lord witnessed this to me in a way long time ago, before I really even knew about the bridal calling. But how sweet this became to my life. As in, I believe, fifth grade, maybe fourth, and this group of boys would pick on me, and there are four or five of them that began to really pick on me and then basically kind of beat me up after school. And they would wait for me and do that. And in fourth or fifth grade, I was a gentle kid. I became a big idiot when I was later on in junior high. But at that time, I wasn't looking for a fight. I was a chubby kid, and they were evil. And I had an early appointment in my life, and they would beat me up every day. And I was ashamed of it, and I would try to put myself together and everything before I go home, because I was ashamed to go home to my mom and dad. And one day, they really knocked me around. And I went home and I couldn't hide it. And my mother saw me. And I explained to her what happened. And she said, "Get in the car." I think I was more afraid of that moment than I was at all the things that had been going on. She said, get in that car. I kind of had a feeling what was going on, but I really didn't know what was going on until she started to drive over, because she knew exactly who these boys were. She knew exactly where they lived, and we were going right there. And so here we go, and we pull up in that car right in front of their house, and they're all sitting out on that porch. And they see my mom get out of that car. And I'll tell you what, they were more shocked than I was, still sitting in the car. And she said, get out of the car. And she's sitting right back there, and she knows this the truth. And I'm sitting there, I still don't know what she's thinking of doing. And she walks up there, and she says, get up here, Jess. And I walked up there. And she says, which one of these boys is the leader of this? And I said, oh, Mom, which boy is the leader of this? And I pointed him out and I said, well, he is. Okay. Get on out here. The guy kind of looked at her and he said, you get on out here in the yard. And he walked out in the yard. She looked at those other boys and she says, okay, I'll tell you what. My son is going to go here and beat him to a pulp. And if you touch him, I'm going to beat you to a pulp. Now, I was just shocked, and the last thing I wanted to do was fight that kid. But I know that my mom was going to whoop me harder if I didn't go and fight that boy, which for a moment, I'm just wondering, could I win? And I'll tell you one thing, I wailed on him, and I wailed on him, and it felt so good. And after the wailing, he was left crying on the ground. Mom was quiet, put me in the car. We went home, never said a word. That was it. Now you say, well, why would you tell me such a crazy story like that? Did you get your mother arrested? And I said, no. Now see, my mom could have licked all those boys. She could have taken me over there and just beat them all up herself. Yep, she could have. She had ripped him up like a mama bear. But she took me to a place where I had to fight. But she took me to a place where she knew I would win. And she set that battlefield for me. And there was no way that I was going to do anything but win. You can call me crazy, but I know exactly. That was a testimony to me of how my God prepares every battle. And oftentimes we don't want to go in there to fight it. But there's something about a man after God's own heart, and especially in this day and age. He's looking for one that's going to jointly rule and reign with him, not watch him do it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I've seen him whoop them all by himself. But I've seen more and more. He said, come on. This is too good. We have to do it together. If I be for you, who can be against you? Huh? The Lord is my light. In my salvation, whom shall I fear? So we fight, and we fight on, for by the grace of God, we fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Exciting times, brothers and sisters. God help us to wake up to it. I've been reading about those mighty men. They salivated to see the giants. Oh, God, give me another one of Goliath's brothers. Do you got anybody with seven fingers and seven toes? You gave me one with six. Go read about them. I was visiting with my sister-in-law, and we were thanking God. How beautiful. I believe now his name was Benaniah. He was the hitman.
Boy, when he was called to fall on you, it was over. It was over. We're lovers, but we're warriors. We're fighters. Amen. She's fiery just like him. If he's coming out of heaven with smoke and fire in his nostrils for me, I know by the grace of God he's expecting the same from me. We got a battle, my husband. And I've cried out, but you've enabled and encouraged me. Take heart. Take heart. He's the Lord. And he's our God. And his love, hallelujah. The banner over us is his love. All right. Been a good day. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.